It's time to take off your clothes, enjoy clothes-free living, and join us for Naked, Nudist, and Naturist.
Welcome to Naked, Nudist, and Naturist, the show that celebrates clothes-free living for all. I'm your host, Frank Stone.
And I'm your correspondent, Lisa Monroe, and I'll be reporting on all things within the naturist community. So it's time to get naked and join us.
And enjoy clothes-free living on Naked, Nudists, and Naturists. Well, greetings and welcome on in to Naked, Nudists, and Naturists episode 42 today. That's right, our 42nd week of broadcasting in a row and our 42nd episode in a row. We have not taken a week off yet since we started on July 1st of 2023, nor do we plan to anytime soon. Bringing the naturist, nudist, naked, clothes-free life for all of the right reasons to you every single Saturday morning at 6 o'clock a.m. Eastern Time on Spotify, branches out to every podcast platform under the sun thereafter, and we are just glad that you are with us today. As I like to say, the pool is fine, the hot tub is fired up, we have hamburgers, hot dogs, sausages, even some vegetables on the grill. You can smell the charcoal in the background. Vegetable plates off to the right. Your favorite cold beverage off to the left. Coffee and hot tea inside. Have your clothes off. The day is warm, almost hot. You won't get burned today, but you will enjoy the breeze and the clear sky and the clothes-free living for all of the right reasons. On today's show, in fact, in just a few moments, we will have the latest report from Andy Rogers of WINR, Women in Nude Recreation, a part of the American Association for Nude Recreation. She and her husband went to the Mojave Sun Club, and they will have a report on that in just a few moments. Then we will head over to the UK to talk to Helen and Simon Berryman. Everybody in the naturist community knows those names. Helen is involved with the women's arm of British naturism. She also has her own podcast, Women in Focus. But today we're going to talk about a retro gaming night put together mostly by Simon Berryman. But we'll talk to both of them, Helen and Simon Berryman, in just a little bit. Of course, Lisa Monroe will be here to do her thing. Every week she comes in, our weekly correspondent on naturism, nudism, naked, clothes-free living for all the right reasons. And our featured interview today will be with the very terrific Mitch London. Mitch is the current president of the AANR, the American Association for Nude Recreation. We have the president today, that's right. You'll hear him here, part one of my interview with Mitch London today, part two of my interview with Mitch London on next week's show, which of course will be episode 43. Hopefully you are clothes-free right now. We always are in the studio enjoying clothes-free living for all of the right reasons, as we like to say over and over and over again. And if you're in any position to do the same, please do. Just enjoy the life for what it is. One of the things that we enjoy most about this show is hearing from people who say, you know, I love to be nude, but I felt it was weird, so I kept my clothes on. Then I hear you guys talking about it, and I realize it's normal beyond normal, and their clothes come off, the stress goes away, and life becomes better. Thank you for being with us today, Naked, Nudist, and Naturist, episode 42. And now let's get to the latest report from Andy Rogers and her husband, Tom.
Hi, this is Andy.
And this is Tom with the WINR on Wheels on Perfect Tour.
How fun it's been for us to get to visit our friends from Serenity Mountain Retreat at their home in Lake Havasu City, Arizona. Here they belong to the Mojave Sun Club, an active, non-landed club with 42 members. They rotate who's hosting each month, and we just happened to get in on their St. Patrick's Day party, one of my favorite holidays. All decked out in green, nude attire, the ladies joined me in the sunroom, and we chatted like old friends. To get the conversation started, we all shared how we became a nudist, and I was the newbie amongst them, with only 8 years in this lovely community. As I shared my story, some of the ladies pointed out that I could be sharing their story as well. It's heartbreaking to hear, but it is something that connects us together. And by sharing these often difficult stories to hear, it unites us in a bond as survivors. During the afternoon, we talked back and forth so freely. I shared my story, while listening to theirs and remarking on how we should sit down and talk with each other in this way more often. We need to take the time to get to know each other deeply. I then talked about the WOW, of course, Women One Word campaign, and the women who participated shared their word about what nudism has done for them. Many also wrote stories to go along with their word, which you can see on the womeninnuderecreation.com website. And I took those photos and created the 2024 calendar. And as we were looking through the calendar, I shared what it meant to many of the women who participated and how it is still impacting women and men across the U.S. Sharon, was Miss February, read a portion of her story, and I invited any women there that would like to be a part of this year's campaign and the 2025 calendar to join in. We then shared the traditional Irish meal of corned beef and cabbage, potatoes and soda bread. Talk about delicious. We toasted the evening with a glass of champagne. Mojave Sun Club members made us feel right at home and like we were part of the club.
This is a great non-landed club in Lake Havasu with many active members. We had such a great time with these folks. We started our meet and greet just talking about our lives and adventures. Many of the men have been with Anner for 20 to 30 years, so we didn't spend a lot of time talking about Anner on this particular visit. Just a bunch of us old farts talking about the good old days and enjoying the life, this wonderful life being in the nude lifestyle. Thanks for having us. It was a great place to visit.
We have had so much fun with Terry and Sharon in their home this week. We learned a new game called Will the Bell Ring, which they think was created by Terry's dad. It's a variation of poker hands with six of us playing and each starting with 50 chips. I came in third, which isn't too bad for me. Definitely, we will be playing this game again. So we rode a 10-minute ferry to a casino across the lake, and I lost $40. But I always know I'm going to lose, but it was fun. It's just fun at that point. We joined them for dinner and karaoke at the local Elks Club, which was packed out. Very active group of Elks in this town. We also got to see our sister-in-law who was in town for the day, and we enjoyed flaming margaritas and just spending time getting to visit her. What a special added bonus to see her on this leg of the trip. We were sorry to leave, but we look forward to coming back down this way and visiting everyone sometime in the future. Thank you, Mojave Sun Club, and especially Sharon and Terry, for your warm hospitality and jovial spirit.
Until next time. Hope to see you down the road.
And there you go, the latest report from Andy Rogers of WINNER, Women in Nude Recreation, for the American Association of Nude Recreation. Andy Rogers and her husband, Tom, we thank them for this latest report, and we'll hear from them again on next week's show. You're listening to Naked Nudists and Naturists, episode 42 today. Thank you for being with us, enjoying clothes-free living for all of the right reasons. And now let's head over to the UK to talk to Helen Berryman and her husband, Simon Berryman. But let's head over to the UK this morning. We are going to talk to what I'm going to call the first couple of naturism. They might not like that title. I just gave it to them and didn't get their okay. But they're all over the place promoting naturism, clothes-free living for all the right reasons. It's Helen and Simon Berryman. So first of all, let's say hello to Helen. Helen, how are you today?
Hi, Frank. I'm good, thanks. How are you?
Not bad at all. You're busy as heck, especially with being the women's officer with BN, right? That's your main focus right now, at least in terms of pushing naturism.
Yeah, never a dull moment. Always plenty to do. Got lots of different events coming up and a ladies-only holiday in Fuerteventura in April. That's really good and sold out. So we're doing another one in September as well.
Mm-hmm.
Not to mention your own podcast.
That's right.
Yeah, podcast.
I think you started, was it the first Saturday of December of 2023?
Yeah.
That was your first show. Yeah. And then every first Saturday of each month, you have a new show, right?
That's right. Yeah. So we've done five podcasts now. So five different women is great.
Yeah. That's not bad at all. Well, keep it going because you're making a big difference out there. And I can say, you know, talk to women about naturism till the cows come home. We talked about cows before we started the interview. And some women will listen, others won't. But if a woman says it, it just has a different effect. So keep doing what you're doing, but you also have an effect on men. You know, men hear you and say, you know, Helen seems like a nice person. I'll give it a try. And then, of course, they do, and they never go back because it's the greatest thing ever. So keep doing what you're doing.
Yeah, well, every person has got a different story or a different route into naturism and you know, the benefits it brings them. So it's just about hearing about it, really.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, let's say hello to her husband, Simon Berryman. He's a big advocate for naturism as well. Good morning, Simon. How are you today, sir?
I'm good. Thank you very much, Frank. Yes, I get that a lot. I'm definitely Helen's husband.
She used to be your wife. Now you're her husband, right?
Yes, absolutely. Because, yeah.
But actually, I believe you were into naturism long before she was. Is that correct?
That's right. That's right. Yeah, yes. Yeah. 2011, I went on a World Naked Bike Ride, and that was where I kind of put a label on naturism and what it was and decided, yes, that's me.
Sell the clothes and move on, right? Yeah. Ever since 2011. Well, we have you on today. Next week on April 20th, you are putting on a Naked Retro Gaming Live, I believe, at the Naturist Foundation. Maybe, Simon, just tell us about this. I know that's a big... a thing for you. You enjoy this. We'll talk about that in a minute. But what's going on next week at your Naked Retro Gaming Live night?
Okay, so the Naturist Foundation is playing host to it. It's going to be an evening where a lot of retro games consoles, and by retro I mean like everything from the 70s up to the sort of early noughties, games consoles are going to be set up and ready to play, some old computers as well. Yeah, very British stuff like the ZX Spectrum and the BBC, but also some of the ones more known to the American audiences like the Atari and the Commodore 64. We're going to have the old... Sega Mega Drive or Genesis and the PlayStation, and hopefully have a big screen four-way Mario Kart for people to come and have a bit of a competition on.
I'll win.
Yeah, of course you will. Yeah. Yeah. But aside from that, yeah, it's going to be like set up in the pavilion there, and there's going to be the bar open as well, and food van and things. So it's going to be a full-on evening.
And this is open to everybody. You don't have to be a member. Anybody can show up and pay the fee and get in?
Absolutely, yes. It's an open event. Yeah, it's just a evening fee to get to the event. And
but you need to book online.
On the Naturist Foundation website, naturistfoundation.org. By all means, sort of book up and come along. And if you want to book for the day as well, do that. You know, there's no make a day of it.
Yeah. Now, I have here it starts at 6:30 p.m. About how long do you think it'll go?
Till the bar shuts.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. I mean, about 10:30, 11 o'clock, I would imagine, before, we're going to have to allow a bit of time to try and take everything down again. It's going to be a lot of wires.
Oh, yeah. I'm curious, Simon, because, following you on Twitter over the last year or so, this is a big deal to you, this whole retro gaming thing. You play it a lot. You've been involved in it quite a bit. Why is your affinity so strong to the older games? It's just more fun, more... rudimentary, just take us through it.
It's nostalgia, really. I mean, I was born in the mid 70s, and it was very much my childhood was throughout the 80s, and that's really when sort of home computing and home games consoles really took off. So there was it was almost a bit of a Wild West days, really, of the gaming industry back then.
Plus, and, you're a nerd.
That helps.
I mean, Helen and I were actually at school together, and I was the one in the computer club every lunchtime, and you had no idea.
I didn't know there was one.
So that just about sums us up, really. I'm a software developer to this day. So, the older games, it really is just kind of come around as been a sort of recapturing lost youth, I suppose, a bit of a midlife crisis type thing.
Well, there are worse midlife crisis things you could do. So retro gaming is pretty good, right?
Absolutely.
Plus, you like fixing things as well.
There is another aspect to it. Yeah, I mean, I've always been a bit into my sort of electronics and stuff. I don't just play the games. I like to buy the consoles and try and fix them. So, I'm no electrical engineer by any means, but I've got the kit and I can do sort of basic soldering and repair jobs.
Okay. Now, back in the late 70s, and I like to tell people that's way before I was born, but nobody believes me. But back in the late 70s, a friend of mine went to stay with his sister and his niece in another state, about 1,000 miles away from where we live. Just went for a vacation for a week or two. The girl was 5, and she had this game that played a video game on TV called Pong. Do you remember Pong? Yeah. Okay. It might have been the first game ever. And I took one look at it, thought, well, this is the dumbest thing ever invented. But next thing you knew, I was playing it 25 hours a day. So it can be a lot of fun. Is that the first game? Is that
Pong was one of the first games in the arcade. It wasn't the very first, but it was the first one that actually made any sort of inroads and captured people's imagination. And it spawned a lot of clones on the TV games. And yes, I do have a Binatone from 1977, which includes it. So
that's great. Now, some of those other games you mentioned, Commodore 64 or consoles, Sega, are they still around? Do they still make new versions? Are those done and gone and the new stuff has come along?
Well, a lot of things have evolved. I mean, Atari themselves are very much more into produce, and Sega, they produce software and games for other people now rather than their own hardware. Commodore ceased to be in the late 90s. The ZX Spectrum disappeared when Amstrad bought it. And I think perhaps the most interesting one is Acorn, who produced the BBC B, which is, you know, in the UK, all the schools had computers in them that were sponsored by the British Broadcasting Corporation, and they were manufactured by Acorn Electronics. But the Acorn went on to spawn the ARM chips, which were originally called the Acorn RISC machines. And if anyone knows anything about ARM, that powers every single mobile phone in the world these days.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I was thinking I hadn't heard of those recently, so I figured they moved on to some other things. Who are some of the big players today? Like, if you're going to go out and buy a game, it's made by which company?
It's a lot of the in-house people. So Microsoft have their own divisions, and Sony do as well for their respective consoles. But then you also have manufacturers like EA, Electronic Arts, and the EA Sports. Yeah, people know them quite well from their various sports games. I believe it's just the software houses have become kind of almost like movie studios in their own rights. That's that same sort of level of spending and investment that they put into games these days.
Yeah, it's pretty advanced for sure. I was thinking back to when I was in high school. Obviously, I'm a little older than you are. You talked about computers. You were in the computer club every lunch, and Helen didn't even know there was a computer club. In high school, they had a computer class, and the only kids who went into that class were the kids who had no clue about math. If you couldn't add 1 + 1 and get 2, you know, kid, you're not very bright. Go to computers. And some of those kids turned into adults who made a fairly decent living because they were on the ground floor of computer development, and they learned this stuff from the ground floor while the rest of us were in algebra, you know, trigonometry, things we don't use at all anymore.
Yes.
It sounds like you got involved right in the beginning too, as it was kind of sort of developing as a main deal, right?
Yes, like I say, I've been programming since I was like 7 years old.
Wow.
I had a very first ZX81 at the time. I've been a software developer. My sort of like computing has evolved over the years, but I was always keeping up with the new stuff up until about, I don't know, 4 or 5 years ago, when I suddenly realized that actually I wanted to go back to basics and started looking at where I came from. And that's where the whole nostalgia wave came in and started going back to the older stuff.
Makes sense. Now, Helen, when you married Simon, did you know he was a genius, or did that come out later?
I knew he was a nerd, if that's what you mean. I don't remember him from school, like from being nerdy, but we kind of work.
Yeah, that's right.
I brought out your inner nerd, haven't I?
Kind of. And I've brought out your inner rebel.
But it's funny how a lot of those nerds, are doing really well in life, isn't it? We made fun of them back in high school, but now
it used to be a really rude thing to call people, but nowadays it's a compliment.
Badge of honor, absolutely. Yeah. Well, we've been talking to Helen and Simon Berryman from the UK today. Everybody knows who they are. And before we let you go now, next Saturday, April 20th, 2024, you have this Naked Retro Gaming Live. And Simon, just tell everybody again some more details, how they can get involved, and anything else you want to put out there.
Okay, so it's Naked Retro Gaming Live. Yes, it's held at the Naturist Foundation. You can book online at naturistfoundation.org.
Everyone's welcome.
Everyone's welcome.
All right. If I could get a boat over there, I'd join you, but I probably won't be able to.
Maybe next year.
Maybe next year. It's been great to talk to you, Helen. Always a pleasure. We've had you on the show before, obviously. Keep doing what you're doing for BN and your podcast and everything else you're doing, and go out there and have a great day.
Thanks, Frank.
Thanks, Frank.
Yep. And, yeah, definitely you too, Simon. Keep up the great work and best wishes on this Naked Retro Gaming Live night, and probably the first of many, right? You maybe look at it as an annual thing or twice a year.
Yeah, well, if we can do it annually, that would be great, certainly. You know, and if it gets really big, maybe we can do Naked Retro Gaming US.
There you go. We'll fly you over here. We'll set you up and you'll be good to go.
Absolutely.
I take that as an invite, don't you?
I do.
You're welcome anytime. Helen and Simon Berriman, have a great close-free day, as we like to say, and we'll talk to you next time.
Thank you, Frank.
See ya.
You bet. And there you go, the very terrific naturist couple from the UK, Helen Berriman and her husband, Simon Berriman, all about that Naked Retro Gaming Live. If you're near the Naturist Foundation, get there next week. Participate. Have a great evening of fun. And we thank Helen Berriman and Simon Berriman for coming on today's show. You are listening to Naked Nudist and Naturist, episode 42 today. Hope you're enjoying the show. We love having you here. We look forward to this all week. And as you can tell by the music that is sneaking in on us ever so slightly, it's time for the one, the only, the terrific Lisa Monroe. And here she is, the one and only, the fully clothed, free, and the fully smiling Lisa Monroe. Good morning, Lisa. How are you today?
Good morning, Frank. I'm doing great. And how about you this beautiful day?
Not bad at all. I do have some bad news, though. It's a really short segment today, but next week we will make it up to you. It will be fairly on the lengthy side. So if you're okay, let's just get right to it today.
Okay, that's fine. And if you notice, I didn't bring baked goods for that reason. So maybe you'll get something next week. So
well, I
proceed,
sure hope so.
Please.
All right, we'll get an email from a gentleman goes by the name of Wilson. I believe he's in California. And he came up with an idea. We don't have time to read the entire email today. But essentially what he said is this: I'm wondering if we have been approaching this whole top freedom thing in the wrong way, you know, top free for women. For years, we've been trying to make it legal for women to have top freedom, but we've been met with nothing but resistance from both sexes who are of the porno prude mindset when it comes to nudity. The tenacity of their resistance borders on insane ferociousness. So his bottom line is this: my thought is that if we were to try to select some states or locations to push through a law that put the same requirements on men that the current law has on women, I believe the prudes would jump on it immediately without thinking it through. This, I believe, will have the same effect on top freedom as prohibition had on alcohol. Oh yeah, this is great, and let's do it, he says. A little while later, the men who are no longer allowed to go top free in these states will start to say, this is, I'll paraphrase, this is baloney, and they will revolt, and then they'll just pass a law and let everybody go top free. What do you think of that as a way? If women want to have their top off, great, but if the laws say no, then you know what, guys? You can't either, and that would cause a revolt on men, and suddenly everyone's top free. What do you think?
Well, I think denial is one method of protest, in that, you know, taking away a right from someone who has it because other people don't is a probably legitimate way. Whether or not you could pick the right spot, I'm sure you could, you know, go to some place that was pretty open already and maybe get this passed. But how widespread it could be, I don't know, because I think it's still a very touchy subject. I think it's a touchy subject for those of us who believe it should happen, simply because we believe women should be free, men should be free to, you know, be topless on the street. But I also know probably for myself, it would take some adjustment to me seeing a lot of naked women in places that I'm not used to seeing them. So I don't know. I think it's a really tough situation, but he may have a point, and maybe a denial type of law would help out.
It might. And, you know, the initial shock is basically what you described. You go to the grocery store, a bunch of topless women, the first few times, like, whoa, what is going on here? But eventually it becomes normal. I mean, men can walk around with out a shirt. We can walk top free all day long. Women cannot, for the most part. And I noticed that, I've said this before on the show, I noticed that when I was a kid, like, there's something wrong here. We got 10 boys, 3 girls playing baseball. The girls had tops on, the boys don't. And I never got a good answer on that. I don't think there is a good answer, do you?
No, I don't. You know, there are places that require shirts for men as well, restaurants, the things where they consider it some sort of health reason, a right. sanitation reason, although I don't understand that. But for the most part, men are free to do what they want, women are not.
Yeah. Unfortunately, we have to let it go right there, Lisa Monroe. It's kind of a hit and run today. We're all about freeing the nipple, top freedom for everybody, men and women.
Yes, we
and
are.
I know that. Yeah, that's right. All right. We have to go right there, Lisa. Have a great clothes-free day and week. We'll talk to you next time.
Okay, Frank, take care, and we'll see you next week.
All right. The very terrific Lisa Monroe, our weekly correspondent on nudism, naturism, naked, being clothes-free for all of the right reasons. And we appreciate Lisa Monroe for being on every single show with us and for running our website. Well, you are listening to Naked, Nudist, and Naturist, episode 42 today. Brand new show every Saturday morning, 6 o'clock a.m. Eastern Time. Hit Spotify. We do it all for you. The only thing we ask in return is you like, subscribe, and review on Apple, Spotify, YouTube. And that's right, we have a YouTube preview every Wednesday morning, 6 o'clock a.m. Eastern Time. So check those out as well. Like us, review us. By the way, a 5 is the highest you can give for a review. Just thought I'd point that out. But we would appreciate that very much. Well, let's go over to Texas now. We're going to bring in the current president. That's right, we have the president on our show. The president of the American Association for Nude Recreation. Let's get to it right now. My interview with the very terrific Mitch London. So let's head out to Texas this morning, Austin, Texas, to be specific. We are going to talk to the president of AANR, the American Association for Nude Recreation. We had him on before for a short interview. This is the full-length interview, so let's welcome him to the show this morning, the president of AANR, Mitch London. Good morning, Mitch. How are you today?
Hi, good morning. I was waiting for my little fanfare in the background, the trumpets blowing, but they didn't show up this morning, so.
Did you hire your own mariachi band or classical music?
Yeah, I tried, but they didn't want to show up at 7 o'clock in the morning, so.
Well, the show hits at 6 a.m. Eastern time, so that's even worse.
They don't get up that early.
No, the life of a musician, you don't get home till 2 or 3 right. or 4 in the morning, let alone get out the door at 6. You got to be kidding, right?
Yeah.
Maybe we can get a string quartet here because the string players tend to go to bed early. It's the brass and percussion you got to worry about, right?
All right. Yeah.
So how's life in Texas these days before we get to the AANR business? Warm enough to get out and enjoy social naturism yet or not quite?
Oddly, it depends on where you are. I mean, Texas being the size that it is, you know, they say you can drive one part and be in a different time zone and a different, you know, weather zone, basically. So. But this year, it's been pretty nice out. You know, we've had highs in the 60s. Last year, about this time, we had an ice storm that, you know, killed about 10 million trees. So, it's a big difference from this year to last year.
You probably don't do a whole lot of nude sunning by the pool during an ice storm. It's just kind of a wild guess on my part.
Not so much, yeah.
Well, let's talk a little bit about AANR, American Association for Nude Recreation. Most of our listeners, I'm guessing, know what this is all about, but we get new listeners every week, and they might not know. This might be their entry-level show, this particular episode, like AANR, what's all that about? So let's go ahead and educate people. I know this as an association started over 90 years ago, but just tell us what it's about, what you folks do, why people should pay attention, why people should join, sign up for your newsletters, and even run for office someday. What's AANR all about, Mitch London?
Well, AANR, or the American Association for Nude Recreation, has been going since about 1931. So in just about a few years, we're going to be celebrating our 100th anniversary. So that's going to be, we've been working on that already. We've actually been saving money up in the budget each year to accommodate a big gala or some thing. We don't know what yet. You know, we're going to do some big thing, have some special things made up, and hopefully have a big special event at some club somewhere. And
well, that's when you have the mariachi band.
Exactly. Yeah, that would be great. At least if it was in Texas, you know, maybe in the north, you might have something else. But I don't know.
It's true.
But Anner has been around since the 30s, which, you know, some people are like, what's the 30s? You know, it's like, well, that's way before me even. So that, you know, that's my dad's day. But their goal has kind of been the same ever since. It's basically, you know, kind of keeping an eye on the, you know, rights and abilities for like folks like us to be nude in first, probably just in private in our own homes. And then, you know, when we go to a club, you know, some places didn't want that. You know, you had people that, you know, thought that, oh, your clothes are not on you, so you must be doing something nefarious. And as we all know, that's not the case for nudism, but people don't, they don't ask, they don't know. We've been working that for almost 100 years, and we can get into some of the political stuff later, which is an ongoing thing currently. But Anner has been around and has, you know, basically helped people with keeping nudism an activity that you can do in your home with your friends, with your family. It is family friendly, you know, nude recreation. And it also gives us a set of guidelines to follow for not only individuals, but also for clubs. If you want to be a club affiliate of AANR, it gives you a set of guidelines to say, hey, we're willing to, you know, fall under the guidelines by, you know, ensuring that it's family friendly, or it's not a sex club, basically. We'll just say it out flat. It's not a sex club. Right. And, you know, like I say, some people don't know that and they assume what it is by not knowing. So they assume it. And we know what that means. Yeah. It basically offers a set of guidelines, which, you know, we've been, if you've ever been to the AANR website, AANR.com, we have a, that we didn't come up with, but somebody came up with a nudist bill of rights type of thing, which is, you know, kind of something we aspire to. It's like, here's some ideals that we agree with and aspire to. And so we want to be the best nudist that we can be. And so Anner has been around to help guide people to do that and clubs to do that. And so we do that.
Well, best in terms of behavior and what to do and what to not do, but also, as you mentioned, to defend people if they get knocked around a little by society just merely for having their clothes off. And I'm looking at the page on your website now. I don't know if this is the one to which you were referring, but several things that AANR does for people. It starts off with employment and workplace issues. Is that the page you were talking about as well?
Well, it's just a little, looks like a little bill of rights sort of thing. It's kind of got the handwritten or the, you know, the fancy script sort of thing. And it may have moved around. Sometimes they change the placement of it. So it's not, I don't know. It basically is, you know, it's like, you know, we have the right to be nude in an appropriate place, you know. So it's basically say we're not going to go run down the street naked, unless, of course, you're in parts of San Francisco or in Europe where that's perfectly fine. But most places in the U.S., it's not. In Canada, it's not necessarily. Of course, in Canada, depending on the weather, it could be cold and you might not want to. It basically is just kind of a list of things, and it looks like a little Bill of Rights, but I think it just says Bill of Nudist Rights. I haven't looked for it in a while because I've already read it and agreed with it. So.
Yeah.
Unless somebody's adding something to it, I don't know. But
okay. Well, if you don't mind, I'd like to take you through some of these other rights that I found on maybe a separate page. AANR Defending Your Rights. And the first one is employment and workplace issues. Now, I don't think. Now, I've been proven wrong every time I say I don't think, because there's always some knucklehead who will go against the grain. I don't think anybody would fire an employee because they go to a nudist club every weekend and put that on the record. Oh, by the way, you're doing a great job, but you're out of here because you're naked every weekend, because they would get sued until the cows came home and they would lose tons of money. But there are ways to get people out of an organization. Hey, did you hear, you know, Bill and Susie get naked every weekend? Oh, really? Well, let's start looking for little things. Let's check their phone bills, their business expenses. You can't be fired for living the nudist lifestyle on your own time, but I'm guessing you've seen that before or have heard stories that it is.
I mean, there's a reason it's on the list. You know, it's like that whenever you see a list of things that you shouldn't do, whether it's at a nudist resort or it's at a concert, there's a reason those things are on the list, because somebody somewhere has done it. So they have to spell it out for people that don't know. But yeah, I mean, there have been people, I mean, especially if you're a teacher, they are like, oh, we have to protect the kids. And that's a popular mantra, you know, think of the children. Or if you work with, you know, it could be anything. I mean, you know, elderly people like, oh, think of the elders. Like, I don't think the elderly care that much. They're not, you know, worried about the, I don't know if they think that we're just going to jump to school naked or something. And it's like, I'm just going to decide I'm a nudist, so I'm going to go to school naked. No, it doesn't work that way. We don't do that. It's just amazing what they come up with on their ideas. But people have been fired in the past for being a nudist. And some people have on their applications have gone up and written in, you know, member of, you know, nudist organization, national nudist organization for X number of years, that kind of thing. And they put it on their application or they put it right away. That way the employer can't come back later and say, well, you didn't tell us this. It's like, I told you right up front. But if it does happen, and if they do kind of push you out, you know, type of thing, they try to work around just saying you're a nudist, you're fired. Well, maybe you're making calls to a nudist resort to plan your vacation on company time. We don't like that. You're fired. You know, who knows what they might be doing. So, you know, ANR has basically tries to offer people, ANR members and sometimes non-ANR members, you know, because we get calls at the office from all kinds of folks and even lawyers and representatives from the legislature asking about, you know, hey, I need to work an angle up with nudism. How can I do this? Or my client has such and such. How can I help with that? And sometimes our client or their client comes to us and says, can you give my lawyer some information? And we send them the information. Absolutely free of charge, you know.
Yeah. And I've been in situations before. Let's take maybe 25, 30 years ago. You know, to me, it's whatever you do in your private life, as long as it's not illegal, it's nobody's business at work, unless you bring it to work and you start pontificating every 3 minutes to, hey, you need to try this and try that. I'm not getting my work done, but you need to try this.
Yeah.
Well, that's an issue, no matter what it is, even if you go to a baseball game every night. Quit talking about baseball. We're paying you to work. But there was a guy in the corporate world where I worked. He was the boss. I mean, he ran the whole organization. And we had somebody on our staff who was a homosexual. And he wanted to rise up in the ranks. And he actually said at a meeting to us, this guy was not present. He said, that guy will never, ever be above where he is now because he's a homosexual. Now, this guy didn't bring that stuff to work, whatever that stuff is defined as. He wasn't trying to convince kids, hey, look at this, you know, again, 25, 30 years ago. But they still went after him, and eventually they got him out of the organization for some trumped up charges. And that's what people do. Like, well, we don't like this guy because he's a homosexual, he's a nudist, he does this, he does that. Let's find a way to get rid of him at some point. And to me, that's always the concern. But it sounds like if the person suspects, hey, wait a minute, I was busting tail, I was doing a good job, yet I'm still fired, I'll bet it's because I'm this, that, or the other thing. And that's where you guys come in, right? You provide some information.
We provide information. You know, we don't have like a staff of lawyers unless somebody that's a lawyer wants to join and make a, you know, team. You know, if anybody's actually read the bulletin towards the back end, there is actually a little ad that's been in there, I think every issue since I've been reading it, that says, hey, are you a lawyer? Would you like to help out? And, you know, basically in your state, because our executive director is a lawyer, but he's a lawyer in Florida. So he can't, he can give ideas and information, but he can't give actual legal counsel to any other state legally. Or they can't use it saying my lawyer says. And so that's why they're always saying, hey, if you're a lawyer in your state and would be willing to help AANR, you know, please contact the office. But yeah, there's people, could get fired for just made up information, you know, and in this day and age, it doesn't even have to be true. Just have to be accused of it, you know, and that goes even back to, you know, the McCarthy, you know, years was like, well, are you a, you know, a spy? Or are you a, you know, a pinko? You know, you remember the old pinko buttons back in the day, you know, you're a communist, remember the Communist Party and this, that, and the other. It's like, oh my gosh, are we doing this again? Yeah. Same story, different song, basically.
No, I think you're right. The second one on this particular page, and your website is great, by the way. I know you have some input. Whoever does it, you know, hats off to them. And under your guidance, your website lays everything out very in detail, but also very carefully and easy to read. But the second one on the list has to do with neighbor disputes. I hear this quite a bit myself. Now, I'm not the president of AANR, but I still hear about this. You know, I took my trash out in the nude. I was trimming a tree in the backyard in the nude. And all heck broke loose. You know, the police showed up and neighbors complained. Does that vary from state to state, city to city, as to what you can do outside when you're nude?
Oh, very much. I don't know every single state, obviously, but a lot of it, of course, depends. I mean, if you're going to take your trash out in the nude in the front of the neighborhood, yeah, that's not a good idea. You know, if you have an 8-foot fence that's a privacy fence in your backyard and you want to mow your lawn in the nude, go for it. I don't mow the front in the nude, you know, that's just not, you know, again, you have to be cognizant of what you're doing and where you're doing it. You know, common sense, you know, that's the biggest thing. Use common sense. But, you know, on occasion, we've had people contact the office saying, you know, I was in my backyard sunning and my neighbor looked over the fence, saw me and was offended and such and such. They can give them information because, you know, we get calls. I know monthly, but possibly even weekly, about people, you know, all over the United States, Canada, parts of Mexico, that say, hey, we had an issue and what can we do to help fix it? And so we send them information regarding to their situation. And so we had a call from a guy that was kayaking, I believe it was. I don't know the whole details, but it's actually in one of the bulletins, I think. But he was basically nude with his dog in a kayak in the boonies, basically. And there were some people on shore that happened to see him, called the cops, this, that, and the other. He got arrested or got a ticket. Took it, and you know, he was out in the middle of the nature, basically, but you know, so he got hauled into court, and he went up before the judge, and he says, you know, basically, judge, I was out here, I wasn't trying to offend anybody, I was just happened to be nude, I might have jumped in, done some skinny dipping in the river as I was floating down, and they just happened to see me, and I've been a member, and he actually supposedly said, I've been a member of AANR for 15, 20 plus years every year. And the judge basically heard that and threw the court case out. You know, he's like, he knew that he had been a member of a national upstanding organization. That alone was kind of his ticket. Now, that's not to say go jump in the river and skinny dip anywhere you want. Again, it's, right, you know, be nude, but in appropriate places. That's the biggest thing.
You know, the analogy I've used, tell me if you agree with this or if I should keep using this analogy, people will say, hey, it's my home. If I want to be nude outside, to heck with the neighbors. And I've always said, well, you have to be careful with that because you can't just do anything and everything that you want to do. For example, you won't set up big 15-inch speakers on your front lawn and play heavy metal music at 3 a.m. because that would be an issue with the neighbors. So you do have to take that into consideration. You can't just do whatever you want, whenever you want. You know, I'm a human being. I want to be nude. That's it. Because some people will have an issue. They'll also have an issue with heavy metal blasting or anything blasting at 3 a.m. in your front lawn. Is that a decent analogy, at least to get some people to understand, you know, you want to live the life, clothes free living for all the right reasons, but also be careful and cognizant of the rights of others?
Oh yeah. You don't want to, I mean, if you have a nice, be a nice neighbor to have a nice neighbor, you know, kind of a, if you want to give it a little colloquialism or whatever, but you know, I went, when I had new neighbors move in, I told them within a month, I went over and, you know, once they had settled in, I said, hey, just wanted to let you know, I'm a nudist and I have, you know, parties and such in the backyard, but you know, you don't, you know, there's nothing to see. There's no one, you know, doing anything nefarious. And I told them right away. And that's, granted, it can be hard to tell a stranger that you're a nudist. You know, that is, even for me, I'm a, you know, I'm about 99% open to anybody and everybody. You know, I'm not going to go run into a schoolyard and go, I'm a nudist. Not going to do that. Again, appropriate. But if somebody asks, I'm not going to avoid the question. I will tell them, yes, I'm a nudist. I have been for X number of years, you know, and that's the best thing to do is to tell them right away. That way they're not guessing what a nudist is doing or what you're doing back there. Because if you tell them, they can't just make up, oh, well, I think they're doing this, so I'm going to think bad things about it. You know, again, it goes back to like your employer telling them right away, tell them the sooner the better, you know. And yes, there's people, not a lot of people have gotten to that point of being able to just tell even family or friends that they're nudists. I tell you, once you do, it makes it so much easier the next time. It's just being a nudist. It's like, it's hard to take your clothes off in a public resort for the first time. It's just difficult. But as we all know, once you do, it's the second time you go, you're just like, done. I'm there. I'm happy. I'm with it. But, you know, telling people, yeah, that's difficult. And there's been articles in the newsletter about how to tell people, you know, and what to tell people, and possibly even what not to tell people. Don't just tell them, yeah, we go out and have naked parties. Well, that's going to give them ideas right there. But, you sure. know, if you tell them, yeah, I go to a resort and it's a clothing optional, because and clothing optional can also be a softer landing for people than nudist or naturist. You know, it's clothing optional. It's like, oh, so you're not forced and this, that, and the other. So it's a lot of it, you know, the way you tell people is also a big thing on how to get that across. But if you do tell them, the more you tell people, the easier it is to tell people the next time, I think. And so that makes it easier down the road and gives you, you know, it's kind of like an elevator speech. If you were pitching a movie idea to somebody, you get in an elevator with the executive and you're going up and you've got a minute to tell somebody something. So you want to tell them the meat of the story and leave out all the fluff and all that. And so that to me is like, I tell them I'm a nudist, this, that, and the other. And then I let them have the opportunity to ask questions. I don't force everything on them at once. That's another thing. I don't go, I'm a nudist. I go out and I have parties and I have this and I do that. It's like, I'm a nudist and this is that. And then they can then ask questions. And 9 times out of 10, they'll start asking questions. I've never had anybody that I've told that I was a nudist be shocked or offended. They're usually, oh, well, that's interesting. Or they get a big smile on their face. But they do generally ask questions. And that's when you can then start a dialogue back and forth between you and whoever and get information to them rather than them having to guess what nudism is. You can tell them.
Yeah. And part of what I've done, I don't know if you recommend this or not, you definitely tell people you're a nudist, a naturist, whatever. I'm going to be lying out in the sun nude. If you approach my pool area, you'll probably see me. But then I also tell them what that means. You know, it's not a bunch of naked parties or naked people, you know, free for all and no rules. Here's what naturism slash nudism is. And like you said, the elevator speech, I might even make it 15 seconds, just very short and sweet. Here's what it is. Here's what you'll see if you come over. You won't see this other stuff, but you'll just see clothes for your living for all the right reasons. Do you recommend that or do you wait till they ask the questions?
You could gauge the situation. I mean, if you're going over there, I mean, especially if you throw parties and you have one coming up within the next week or two, you might say, hey, just to let you know, that might be the impetus to get the information across. Or it could be maybe they've come over and visit and they might have seen maybe you won an award for one of the Anner awards that they have, like, you know, Nudist Club of the Year or Newsletter of the Year or Nudist of the Year, whoever, whatever it might be. Or you just have some nude art or, you know, something around the house, or maybe a newsletter lying around, a bulletin magazine lying around the house. And they're like, oh, what's that? That kind of can start the conversation. Or you might, like, you know, me, I have a little, one of those little kind of like a pegboard sign where you put the letters on it. And I have Hill Country Nudists, come on in and get naked, for, you know, for whenever I throw a party. And I just have that out 24/7. And, you know, so if, you know, anybody, but I don't recommend, you know, going to the door and opening it in the nude. That's just never a good idea. But people, apparently is a thing online, and, you know, whether it's TikTok or whatever, and you know, they answer the door for the pizza guy. It's like, you know, ha ha, cute, or ha ha, you're sued, you know. So you don't know how they're going to react, and you don't want to force that on them.
No. Shortly after I moved in to my current home, you know, I have a pool right outside the back, but it's also screened in. There's a door on either side of the screen, and I had left the door open one night. Brand new to the house, I just hadn't gotten into a routine. One of the screen doors was open, and I was sitting in the kitchen about 6:30 in the morning. So it was not dark anymore, but it wasn't full light. It was kind of breaking. It was in the summertime. And I saw outside of that particular door an animal. I forgot, a possum or something. And it started to rain. I thought, shoot, I forgot to shut that door. It's going to let the who knows what in. You know, a snake might come in and a frog or whatever else, this possum. So I ran out there, again, 6:30 in the morning, shut the door, came back in. I was probably outside 5 seconds total. Well, later in the day, I was working in the yard with my clothes on in the front yard, and the neighbor came up to me, the guy, it was a married couple, but he came up to me and said, wow, it was, you were in a hurry to shut your door this morning. I thought, oh, shoot, you know, I wasn't supposed to be seen. That wasn't part of the deal. 6:30 in the morning, and I wanted to rush and do it. I said, well, yeah. I said, let me just tell you up front. And then I told him what, you know, you've said, you know, I practice naturism, clothes-free living for all the right reasons, so on and so forth. He said, yeah, no problem. He goes, you know, no problem. He goes, just, it kind of shocked me because I didn't know. And I said, well, yeah, you know, we don't really know each other yet. Just moving in. Okay, whatever. So 2 or 3 days later, I was sunning in the nude in my pool, but I had things around me. I have a bench that I put a blanket over. So I really can't be seen unless you walk in the pool area. And the woman next door, this guy's wife, came up to my screen and said, hey, can I talk to you for a minute? Now, she couldn't see that I was nude. She could just see I was out there. I said, yes, hang on 1 minute. And I quickly put on a pair of gym shorts and a T-shirt and got up and walked over to her because I didn't know if he had told her. And I didn't want to start, you know, World Wars 3 through 10 with my brand new next door neighbor. So just common sense, I guess, would be the order of the day. What do you think?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You have to just gauge the situation and what you are and where you are and how it's going to come across. It can be difficult to say what, you know, but, you know, you got to learn, you got to meet your new neighbors at some point. And so it's something you don't want to force on them and, you know, kind of drop a bombshell on them. It's not the best way to do it. But especially I've heard that like a hot tub and a pool can be a great way to get those kind of things across because you can invite people, especially if you have one of those signs that says no clothes allowed in the hot tub just out there. And if you invite somebody over, they can say, oh, that's an interesting sign. It's like, well, here's the information. You know, again, they asked the question, they initiated that. All you're doing is answering their questions. You're not forcing information on them.
No, that makes perfect sense to me. We are talking to Mitch London this morning. He's the current president of AANR, the American Association for Nude Recreation. And Mitch London, before we continue on, tell people how they can get a hold of AANR if they want more information, call, website, whatever you want to put out there.
Oh, yeah. We have a website, which you mentioned. You know, it's always changing. It's always, you know, if we find a problem, we work on it as quick as it can. It's got a lot of information on it from across the, you know, the world, basically, of nudes, things happening and such. We've also got social media, but the website, AANR.com, is a start. You can also contact the office by calling 1-800-TRY-NUDE, TRYNUDE, and just give the office a call. And you know, you can, if you're interested in joining, you can certainly do that on either one by doing it directly on the website. You can do it by calling the office. You can also go to a resort. If you decide, hey, this resort is nice, I would like to come out here a lot, they can certainly join you up. And if you actually join through a travel club or a destination club, such as a resort, you can actually get a little bit of a discount on your membership, which is nice. You know, we offer that through the clubs. But yeah, membership is you know, our organization thrives on our membership. We have to have members in order to keep this thing going. You know, we're over 30,000, about 20 to 30,000 members, you know, these days. And over the decades, the numbers go up and down. We've been on a downward spiral, but we've been on a downward trend. You know, COVID certainly didn't help that, and a lot of things like that. But we're trying to level it back out, and we're hoping to start going back up. But we need folks to consider membership and those things we mentioned earlier, you know, and are offering information if you have an issue. And that's actually been what has caused some people to join. They weren't ANR members. They had heard of it, but then they got in trouble with their neighbors, potentially another family member, they got a divorce, and then they said, well, you're a nudist, so I'm going to hold that against you in the court of law. That's a whole other bowl of wax. But then they like got information and got help, and they're like, wow, that was exceedingly helpful. I might join ANR. For $64 a day or a year. And that's cheap, compared to a lawsuit type of thing.
No kidding.
But, you know, that's membership. I've been a member ever since I joined, and I would not change that at all. You get a newsletter, whether digital or print. If you want to get the print version, you pay a little extra because the print version is insanely expensive to print. I had no idea until I became president how much we spend to print a magazine. It's a full color magazine. So yeah, it's not cheap and it comes out monthly, but there's also the option for a digital version, which doesn't cost any extra. And you get the exact same information just in a digital form. So that's always nice. And you can carry it with you and people can say, what's nudism? You can say, here's the latest newsletter. You can kind of show them, this is what it is. It's not a sex club. It's not an organization that does that.
Yeah, very much so. When I was looking at your website, it looked like there was a way to get a free newsletter or free information sent to you. Do you have to be a member for that? Did I read that correctly?
The Undressed Press is a kind of a version of our newsletter. It's a little miniature version that you can sign up for on the website. And so it's got things like the defending your rights, some snippets about what we've done. Of course, it's got a few ads, but a lot of times it talks about things that we have coming up. We had a drawing for a berth on the latest cruise coming up in a couple of weeks that was benefiting the government affairs team. We also have stories about clubs. So it's kind of a miniature version of our newsletter, but it's not the full version of our newsletter. You know, it's kind of like here's some tidbits to kind of offer you a little information. And if you want to know more, you know, join Anna and you get the full version of the newsletter, which is all that and a whole much more.
Yeah, that's a very good way to go. It gives them information right away because,
yeah,
as you know, in any business, people go to a website, they want more information, they can't get it, they'll just go somewhere else. Well, this way you're giving them information.
Yeah, we're giving them a little bit. And to get more, you know, come join us. And that's also, we have a bi-monthly meet and greet online. And that has been something we've started the past couple of years through our membership and marketing and public relations sort of group effort has put that together. And it's basically a big Zoom meeting. Yeah, I know we're getting out of COVID. We don't want Zoom meetings anymore, but actually it's quite popular. We get easily over 100 people each time we have the meeting. And we have breakout rooms where people can talk about writing, about advocacy for Anner, the young naturists, women in nude recreation, which is a whole other committee that we have. And there's all kinds, and the topics will change each time, every couple weeks. So there's always different things to talk about. And they come in and you start by saying, okay, here's the rules. This isn't, you know, obviously show off what you got down below. You know, this is keep the cameras up here. This is, you know, that kind of thing. And then they open up the different rooms. You know, sometimes there's 12 to 13 or, you know, some odd rooms, and people go to the different rooms and they just chat back and forth and talk about similar subjects, whether it's ham radio or whatever it is. And so that's been a great way. And then, you know, of course, we offer the pitch of, you know, if you enjoy doing this, it's free. It doesn't cost you anything. You don't have to be a member, but, you know, we would love you to be a member. And that's why we have the Anner Advocacy Room, which is what our executive director comes in. And he is kind of the head of that. And he gets to tell people about all the stuff that's going on lately in the Congress and legislative and stuff like that. And so we get to tell people more about Anner and hopefully to consider or convince them to join.
Okay. Well, I didn't realize they can join the meet and greet through AANR and not be a member. So that's open to anyone.
Yeah, you can go to AANROnline.com, which was a website that the subcommittee or the committee put together. And it basically gives you information about how to sign up for that. And that was Karen. She put that together. She's one of our committee chairs, and she's just a computer guru from all the time. She just is amazing at what she can do on the computer.
No, those people are very valuable. Make sure you hold on to her.
Oh, yeah.
The very terrific Mitch London, the current president of AANR. And if you want to reach him or find out more information about the association, the website is AANR.com, and everything is there for you. And if you're not a member, please consider doing so. They work for us. They fight for us. They're engaged for us. So we can continue to live the close-free life for all of the right reasons. And we will have part two of my interview with the very terrific Mitch London on next week's show, which will obviously be episode 43. And by the way, did you know that Mitch London has his own video show? That's right. It's called This Dude Cooks in the Nude. And you can find that, thisdudecooksinthenude.com. It's exactly what it says. He's a dude, he's in the nude, and he does some cooking. Dishes from all around the world. I think you'll enjoy that show. And we're going to have Mitch London on later in the summer to discuss his video show, This Dude Cooks in the Nude. But in the meantime, we'll have him back next week as the president of AANR Part 2. And as a reminder, check out our YouTube previews every Wednesday morning at 6 o'clock a.m. And please like, review, subscribe, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube. You'll be helping us out tremendously in the world of podcasting, and we hope that you enjoy today's show. Thank you for being with us today on Naked Nudists and Naturists, episode 42 today. We give you a brand new show every Saturday morning at 6 o'clock a.m. Eastern Time. Continue to join us. Check us out on our website, nakednudistsandnaturists.com, Spotify, Google, Amazon/Audible, Apple Podcasts, and also on Twitter. You can write us anywhere, anytime, any place. And we thank you for being with us today. Plan to join us for every single one of our shows here and have your clothes off when you're listening. We have our clothes off when we're broadcasting, enjoying the naturist life.
We celebrate clothes-free living for all. Remember to enjoy being naked and join us again for Naked Nudist and Naturist.
We drop a brand new show every Saturday morning, so come back and join us. Have your clothes off when you do for Naked Nudist and Naturist. Have a great clothes-free day.